Blog Talk Radio.
Takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports in Depth.
And if I may say, that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Doc Stanley, Sports In-Depth Live Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian Network. Let's open up the show with a prayer. Don Cosane, and dear Lord, and we just simply say, dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you for the things with the loss we take for granted, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, food on our table. And we also thank you, Lord, for our special guest, Marty Lyon. In Jesus' name, dear Lord, amen. Marty, it is, you know, ecstatic, elated, you know, all of the kind of words you can. You can describe. Long time hero, more importantly, you know, Marty, a role model. You know, what you do so much for football field. But come on, why did you wear the number that you wore?
Well, you know, I think it's so important that if you have a platform in the game of life, and all athletes have that ability to reach out and make people listen if you live your life the right way. And I was very fortunate to be surrounded by good people at the University of Alabama, playing for Coach Bryant. Coach Bryant always said, take the core values of life, family, religion, and education, and put them before the game of football, and you'll always be successful. And in 1982, I learned that lesson in a very harsh but valuable way. My oldest son was born on March 4th, my dad died on March 8th, and the little boy that I was a big brother to died on March 10th. So in a matter of 6 days, you go from the ultimate high to the ultimate low, and then you finally realize that this is a part of life that we all have to go through and experience. And if you can help others learn from this experience and help others that are being cheated out of life, then you're doing something positive. Otherwise, you just run and hide. So again, you surround yourself with good people, and the great people here in the tri-state area helped me start a foundation, and we're now celebrating our 33rd year. We've raised over $35 million, and we've helped over 7,100 kids. So I'm very proud of everything and everybody that's been involved with the foundation.
What's the name of the foundation, Marty?
It's the Marty Lyons Foundation. We operate in 10 states. We go all the way from Massachusetts down to Florida and out west to Texas.
You got any phone numbers we could call or anything that you want to mention?
Well, you could go to the MartyLyonsFoundation.org, or you could call the headquarters, which is 631-543-9474.
You know, you fit so much the credo of two other role models and idols of mine as yourself. Service to others is what you pay for your room here on earth, Muhammad Ali. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for this? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. A lot of that, you know, when you talk about Coach Bryant, he was more than just a football coach, wasn't he, Marty?
He was. I thought, you know, you don't realize it when you're playing for him, but years after the fact of leaving, you can look back and realize that he was a visionary. He wanted to make sure that all of his players understood that you had an opportunity to play the game of football. But more importantly, he prepared us for life. He wanted everybody to be successful after the game of football, because for all of us, whether you were fortunate enough to go and play in the NFL or your college career was over after 4 or 5 years, you were ready to step into your community and be a positive influence. And I think that's a direct reflection on the values that Coach Bryan had, the teaching that we got at the University of Alabama, and the way that he looked at life. And I think when you look back at coaches that had that same type of philosophy, I don't know if we find many of them today.
No, well, yeah, they're not around. Bryan, too, I mean, Coach was the first guy looking at to kind of change the color scheme in football down there, too. You came from there. Joe Namath came from there. Coming from Alabama, you know, you go from one frying pan of notoriety, New York City.
You know, coming to New York City, I think the biggest thing that you had to adjust to was, number one, you're getting paid to play, and number two, you weren't winning as many games. And, you know, we only lost 6 games in the 4 years that I was there, and the first season with the Jets, I don't know what we did during the preseason, but we went 8-8 during the year, and then it was over, and then, you know, you realize that this is a full-time job, a full-time commitment. There's no more classrooms of going to, you know, biology or chemistry. You had to study football year-round. And for me, I was very fortunate because I wanted to live where I worked. So I moved here in 1980 and been very blessed and fortunate to be, you know, tied in with the Jets for the last 36 years.
Mm-hmm. I know, if you got to run, let me know. Marty, what was the big transition from college football to pro football? Was it a lot
I think number one, the speed, the strength of the players. You're no longer playing against guys that are only 3 years older than you. You know, sometimes you're lining up and you're looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers, who won 4 Super Bowls in the 70s. And you got Mike Webster and John Kolb and Terry Bradshaw, all the people that you really kind of like idolized as a football player. You're now on the same football field with them. And I think the big difference for me was, you know, I played as a defensive end my rookie season, then they moved me inside to defensive tackle. So I really was out of position my first year, and then playing alongside of Joe Klecko, who I truly hope that the fans and everybody in Canton, Ohio, take time to recognize him as a Hall of Famer, because, you know, unfortunately we didn't win the Super Bowl, but Joe was one of the best players and without a doubt probably the best that you could ever ask for. He made the New York Jets better because he held everybody accountable. And that's starting with himself first. That's why he was a Pro Bowl player. And we had the New York Sack Exchange. And, you know, those years were fun. They were exciting. And when you look back, you know, you kind of say, hey, wow, how fortunate was I to be in the right place at the right time?
Yeah, I think us who know you and us Jets fans say how fortunate we were. Thank God that you were here. What a blessing you've been. Sack Exchange, man, that had to be a lot of fun, a lot of notoriety, but fun, and you guys are getting the job done.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, but we had 2 defensive ends that nobody could stop. You had to double one of them, and you had Mark at one end and Joe at the other end, and Abdul and I were inside. And, you know, we also had an outstanding, you know, back seven. You had outstanding linebackers starting with Greg Buttle, and you had Kenny Schroy and everybody in the secondary. And, you know, it wasn't that we went in the game cocky or anything, but we played confident. And we went in there and we would say it's not whether we're going to get to the quarterback, it's how many times we're going to get there. And I can remember playing Green Bay. I think we had 9 sacks, and then it was halftime. So, you know, we had a pretty good day, and I think every player complimented one another. And, again, playing alongside of Joe, we didn't have to make any calls at the line of scrimmage. I would look outside. He'd look inside. I knew what he was going to do. He knew what I was going to do. If he gave me a certain look and it was a nod, I knew he was going to take the tackle off the field and then cut back underneath, which no matter what I had planned, I had to get outside the whole containment. And a lot of times with the pressure Joe was given and the pressure from the backside with Mark, a lot of times we got the quarterback flushed out and you would get rewarded by being in the right place, right time, and come away with a sack.
Ends up getting into the New York Jets Hall of Fame. Got to be special. You know, you, Coach Ebanks, Namath, you know, legends, all you guys. Special moment for you to be inducted into the Jets Hall of Fame.
Well, you know what? I don't look at any of us as, you know, legend's a very strong word. I think the only real legend out of that whole group may be, you know, Joe Namath, Coach Eubank. You know, those guys did a great job, and they won a Super Bowl. The rest of us, you know, a legend is what people think of you. A legend is what the legacy you leave behind. And, you know, hopefully that all of us can take time to have a positive influence on the people that follow in our footsteps. And even if they don't have an opportunity to meet us, maybe they know the individual that we were, how we lived our lives, and that they can try to follow in our footsteps to understand that, you know what, life is a precious gift that each and every one of us should be sharing with one another. We just lost a big member of the Jet family, and Bill Hampton Sr. He just passed away. He was a equipment manager for over 40 years. And when you walked into the complex, he was the first one you'd see. When you left the complex, you would glance at. And he had such a positive influence on every player that went through that locker room. And we're going to miss him, but he lived a long life. He lived till he was 86. And the biggest thing is his legacy will continue living on, because he had a positive influence on every one of the players that went through that locker room.
Yeah, I guess you got to run. I'm out of here. You got to leave. You got to go. Can you stay? You got to go. You got to go. Okay. Marty, can't express having you here. You know, I'm going to say this about you. You're always going to be a legend around here. And you remind me of that great line from the movie, The Tall Man. You're everything every little boy wants to grow up to be, and what every old man says he was. Love you, man. Thanks a lot.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for your time today.
Shoot.
There you go. You have it on Sports and Death on blogtalkradio.com. Marty Lyons, game day broadcaster for the New York Jets. He has the call of Bob Wischusen on 98.7 ESPN FM. Thank you, Marty, for coming on the show, giving us great insight there. You can listen to Marty Lyons with Bob Wischusen. They have the call, Jets game day, ESPN 98.7 FM.
Yeah, you know, I want to apologize for any technical talk. I think it's our location today. We normally have our other spot, and so we have a little problem. Maybe we get Bob. Bob, do you want to come on? You think maybe we get Bob for a minute?
We'll try to get Bob on.
Take your phone over. Try to get him for quick.
We'll try to get Bob on.
Distance.
Today, this is week number 10. We are here live on blogtalkradio.com at MetLife Stadium. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. Pre-game show, showdown between two division rivals, the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills. It also marks the return of Rex Ryan, former manager of the New York Jets. Today is the 109th meeting between the two.
Old AFL rivalries, man.
NFL. To 1960, when the Jets were the Titans. The Bills lead the series 57-51.
Well, it was the Buffalo Bills that O.J. Simpson played on when he broke the rushing record. Cookie Gilchrist, the great running fullback. In fact, the Buffalo Bills were the team at one time. They had Elvis DeBinion, who became called the Human Bullet. Yeah, Cookie Cube was in the backfield and Jack Kemp. And I remember Joe Namath said that as a rookie, he wanted to just be able one day to beat the princess like Jack Kemp did. And Kemp became we met Jack Kemp a couple times. He became a senator. This is part of the old AFL, Jets, Bills, Broncos, okay.
The Raiders.
I'm correct. I believe Babe Parilli was a quarterback at Buffalo that eventually – No. Babe was with the Boston Patriots team. I think they were the Boston Patriots team. Babe Parilli wound up being the backup quarterback with Joe Namath. You know, Marty Lyons, he was one of the legendary players in football and around here. And you see the way he talks, it's almost humbleness to the guy. You know, he's never given himself credit for anything. Everything he's talking about, he just happened to be there and made the play. Paul is what he's done for people that he's gone. Okay. Yeah.
Part of the sack exchange. I mean, mean bunch of guys on the field, take a quarterback out, hard for the offensive line to stop, to protect their quarterback. In this Buffalo Bills, one thing that they were known for, not a good stat, is they're the only NFL team to go back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls.
Cool.
Four Super Bowls in the early 90s. They lost all four. Both coaches coming in today, both have Super Bowl rings. Rex Ryan as a defensive coordinator down in Baltimore when they defeated the Giants there back in 2000. You have Todd Bowles, won the Super Bowl.
And Todd also has become the second African-American head coach in New York City and with the New York Jets. Sports in the Block, we're in a touch on the It's a great game show. Jets, Giants, Rex is back. So are we here at... No, is that Wesley Walker? I thought it was Wesley Walker. I'm going to get Bob as soon as I'm trying to get him real quick. Rex is back. We're back here live. Like I said, he's relevant to New Jersey. It's the New York Jets against the Buffalo Bills. A big game. Buffalo wins this game. They tie the Jets. And if the Jets win this game, they kind of put a little more separation between them and the Bills. And they'll have to play them again. But this will be.
Then you have Miami coming in 2 weeks.
Well, but also now the Jets haven't beat Buffalo in how long?
They haven't. You have to go back to week number 3 in 2013, MetLife Stadium, when the Jets won 27-20 over the Buffalo Bills. The last three meetings, Buffalo beat them. They beat them in Detroit last year when we were live from Detroit due to that serious snowstorm up in Buffalo, which moved that game to Buffalo, from Buffalo to Detroit. They ran over the Jets 38-3. They beat them also last year 43-23 at MetLife. So this 109th meeting between the two organizations here, with Buffalo leading 57-51 all time. The key tonight, you have two defensive coaches. Both of them they love to bring the blitz towards the quarterback. You have Rex Ryan, who was one of the few coaches in the history of the organization to coach the organization for 6 years, which is highly unheard of during these days in the arena of sports. Most coaches, if you're not winning right away in this day and era, you can be fired easy. Look at Wisenhunt. You don't see the days of coaches lasting six seasons in the NFL. Do we have Hoops on the line?
Yeah, hey, what's up, y'all? Yeah, okay, I'm here. All
right. Okay, we have Hoopster. Hoopster, welcome.
Thank you.
We got Earl Christie and Frank Stoker are here. Earl Christie and Major Frank. So we're talking about football.
Super Bowl champion Earl Christie with the
how you doing, buddy?
How you doing? This Sea Wings, Doc Stanley. We have Earl Christie, Super Bowl champion. Last time, only time the Jets won the Super Bowl we have him on. Welcome to Sports and Death on blogtalkradio.com. Thanks for
taking
the time. Thank you. Earl, today, Buffalo, New York Jets, division rivals going back to the Titan days with the New York Jets. What's the key for the Jets to win today to keep that pace right behind New England Patriots?
One of the things that Buffalo loves to do, you know, Rex is conservative when it comes to running. You know, cause when you run, you don't make too many mistakes. Our big key to really stop the run, shut down the run. You know, our greatest team, like Reeves and what have you, and our linebackers can do it as a wasteful plants and those thoughts and routes and pass. So it definitely defense today. But I'm looking for an offensive explosion for our receivers today, Decker and Martin.
Earl, tell our listeners out there, you're listening to Doc Stanley Sports and Death. We are live here. Pre-game show, MetLife Stadium, week number 10, as the 5-3 Jets are hosting the 4-4 Buffalo Bills today. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your history with the organization?
Well, I was very happy to be part of the New York Jets Super Bowl III champion, of course, with our Joe Namath to guarantee the win. I was a running back and defensive back, kickoff punt return. So that's old school. So I played for the positions. And, you know, and of course, in Super Bowl III, we were very fortunate to make the change of the NFL from what it is today. That's the merge of the American football against the national football team.
Do you see a difference, a significant difference today in the way that the game is played during your time than when it is now? The toughness of the players, obviously the rules have changed many times over during the years. Do you see a significant change in the way the game is played today as far as athleticism, toughness? Obviously you didn't have the hard cap as so much back then. You were able to keep a lot of the teams together. What do you see that's significantly different during your gridiron days than it is today's football?
I'll just assume that's a great question, and there's so many different aspects of it. First of all, we have free agents, and that's what benefits the player, where they can go to different places. And some players, if you want to play in the later, you didn't want to play in a little more climate, so that has some tough line. Rules have been changed in the sense that the athletes are fast for structure, but not necessarily federally established or fundamental. The tackling is not as good as it used to be. We look at playing boom in the red zone, and Emerson Boozer and seeing them off from Joe Namath. Just like Brady and Peyton, looking when it comes to the red zone, one fact, those are because these don't play as great man to man that we used to do. We just play man to man. And the difference also in the linebackers are faster and stronger now. Okay, so that's a big difference in the game. But still, the game has still blocking and tapping.
There you go. You hit from a super shot with the New York Jets. Doc Stanley, C-Wings, Hoopster, jumping in. If you have any questions for our guest,
yeah,
today,
I
want to
know what he put his Super Bowl ring at. Does he still wear it?
Oh, yeah, I got the rock on. And you have a question about the antenna. And, we talked about what we were going to win, but I got to keep you guys a group, two persons that really predicted before Joe Namath. My grandpa, he said we were going to win it right in the beginning because he was playing.
So, today, what do you see, your predictions in today's game, what do you see this the prediction and the outcome in today's game?
When you think about Rex and team, and he right now, not turnovers, definitely three passes, because anytime you play teams in your own division, one team can be better than the other year. Really playing so I can talk to today. I can say the one that is less mistake and then you can take the problem out. That's definitely, I think that the Jets right now, they have a lot of injuries in Buffalo banks too. So if those injuries don't sustain the Jets, they could possibly win this game. This is a tough battle.
There you go. You're hearing it from a Super Bowl champion, cornerback, running back, played gridiron football in a time where it was basically gladiators with helmets on. Earl, you're a host of a show. Tell our listeners before we let you go, I know you're busy. Give our listeners out there information on your show. How can they contact you, call in?
Yeah, I'm not tough like you used to be because I'm down in Tampa, Florida, and I'm on the radio. I'm teaching ESPN, CBS radio, and television stuff. So I'm in the Tampa Bay. I do a weekly show, Chrissy's Foot Trap, and basically we pick the different teams that we think are going to win. And so far this year, I've been teaching the Jets every week.
And what do you broadcast on what station and during what time for your Tampa show?
Yeah, and you can get it on the app. WPIS every Monday, 3:20 p.m. That's I'll be on. Okay, WPIS, Amplifier, 11:10 a.m. radio.
There you go. We got it, Earl. We want to thank you for joining our show today. Earl Christie, cornerback, running back, champion with the champion Super Bowl III, guaranteed by Joe Namath that they were going to win, and they pulled it off. Thank you for joining our show.
Yeah, man, you guys know the game, man. I appreciate it, man. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
BlogTalkRadio.com.
Do you understand what's going on here? Sit down, Earl. I don't know if there's a water for you. Frank, your title, and you got number two here now with Earl. Sit down. Talk to us, baby.
All right. I'm with WCI here. 11:10 a.m. Excited to see the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills meeting Thursday night football. And we're also together with the alumni reunion. To be the game coming up in 4 weeks from now. Fun to see all the old guys getting together again.
You know, Frank, you definitely got a radio voice, man. They ain't nothing but voice but radio voice. You ain't an opera singer. That's Frankie's radio. Where are you from originally, Frank?
No, I grew up in Tampa, Florida, and I enjoy football. I played football, and I'm following the Super Bowl for the Gators. My high school coach told me he was pretty good. Yeah, the quarterback is a pretty good one. The defensive end, and if I got up the field and I said, if I don't keep up on my shoulders, then maybe I should not be playing. So I've been an observer ever since.
Yeah. Frank, you know, you talk about, and I was startled when we opened the show, 109 times you guys have met. The old AFL rivalry, man. And I think, you know, sometimes they get shortchanged, but Buffalo Bills, I think about the Bills. I remember Dick Young, Albert DeBinion, you know what I mean, Jack Kemp, Cookie Gilchrist. And, you know, we go back to the Jets that we talk about Joe, but Earl was there before that. You know, we had Emerson Boozer, Matt Snell, some of the legendary figures that made the AFL. And, you know, I think the AFL was a more exciting league.
You know, I grew up in the 70s, and I followed the Miami Dolphins at the time because Florida did not have another football team. And I was really excited in 1976 when we drafted Leroy Salmon, and they introduced the Buccaneers in the AFL. And I went to the first game in Tampa Stadium with Coach John McKay, and Miami Dolphins visited town. And boy, that was for a 13-year-old kid, that was the most exciting NFL game I could have ever imagined in my life. To have my new team, the Tampa Bay, and the new girl, the biggest legacy and possibly his legacy and his future.
I like that. I like that. You know, it's I think about the great line from Muhammad Ali, service to others is when you pay your room here on earth. Dr. King, life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing, brothers? And a great line from many, and Nelson Mandela, I am my brother's keeper, and my brothers come in all colors. And then that's what you're about. This ain't about complexion or connection. It's about the heart, Frank. And that says a whole lot about you. And it says a lot about you two going back to those 13 years old. You got a little time in the book, which is a blessing in itself there, Frank.
Well, thank you. It's, I found my journey in Christ just a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, the people I have met, and, I'm leaving the Bible school now, Great Family Church.
Okay.
And, boy, I'll tell you, what a great group of God is. I did a man camp a couple weeks ago, 300 men of Christ. And what a great man.
You know, my grandfather was a Pentecostal bishop, and one of his classic lines was, he said, "No, if you go to hell and die and expect to see me there, you'll be sadly mistaken." And, that's what it's all about. You know, Christ, because he comes to us, and we don't come to him. And it's just amazing when you look back that of all the teams you want to be on, of all the choices made, that's the one. And every day is just such a tremendous blessing. And, it's amazing, Frank, in our society where, there's so many things that keep people occupied. And to hear you talk like that, it's your exception, and yet you're the minority. You know, too often things, people too preoccupied with everything, but the only superstar is the man upstairs.
Doc, you're absolutely right. He was one man we praised, and, if we follow in his footsteps, we will be there. God bless you, Doc.
Yeah. Well, great to have you. Make sure you get your card and stuff. And this has been we open the show. Our show opens up with a prayer with John Coltrane, Dear Lord. That's the opening show with prayer. And, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Earl, one of the heroes of my youth. It's just a pleasure to see you again. Thanks for being with us and supporting the Blog Talk Radio. We'll take a small break, gang. And Earl and Frank, they're going to leave now. But we're going to bring you in, Lou Miles Davis, to hold you. And we'll be right back with you here on Sports at the Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Mr. Miles Davis, can you come on here now and play a little music for us? And it is just before the Jet game. Okay, we're going to play Kind of Blue, considered the greatest jazz album of all time. Miles Davis, Cannonball Adderley, John Coltrane. Okay, Bill Evans on piano, Philly Joe Jones on the drums, and Miles Davis bass player, Paul James.
blogtalkradio.com. We have the Hoopsta in our Brooklyn studios. We are live here, me and Doc, at blogtalkradio.com at MetLife Stadium. Hoopsta, NBA season underway. The Nets finally got a win.
Finally. Beat Houston.
Knicks,
beat the Rockets.
The Knicks trying to gel their new team. What do you see this team? Let's start with the Nets. Lionel Hollins, a veteran coach. What do you see this team going through half the season, through the All-Star break? What do you see? How do you see them turn this around?
Well, they got to start playing some defense and start rebounding. And plus, if Lionel Hollins don't get his stuff together, he might be looking for a job. Maybe be a job with Blog Talk Radio. And the Knicks look pretty good.
Problem?
And the Knicks look pretty good. They're doing better than last year. And that rookie for Vinkis, he's doing pretty good out there. Everybody talk about that draft pick. He looked pretty good out there. So the Knicks, we'll see. I think the Knicks will get like 30 more wins. I said like 35 wins.
Who said the thing is, what's in the Blog Talk Radio? My custom government network, which is a good seat. We had Mike Lyons looking for Bob Bethusa, the voice of the New York Jets. Who's the, they had a documentary on the other day. Well, I had it on a while, but I saw it about the Detroit Pistons. And you look, you know, they had a chance to go to the finals 4 years in a row and possibly win all 4 years. It's the Lakers. When they lost the Lakers the first time, that sort of phantom call against Lambeer, but they could have three-peated, they could have four-peated. They were one of the great basketball teams of all time. No question, Jose?
No, definitely. They were a hell of a team. They had two Brooklyn boys on there, so you know they were good, John and Vinny. So, yeah, Detroit was something else.
You know, Hoopsa, you should see Wayne tonight. He's got French cuffs on, badass wide, the Rockler in tie. I don't know who the honey is before or after the game, but, or who they are, but the Hoopsa, he's looking all the GQ tonight. What's that about that great intention? We're preaching before the Jets and the Buffalo Bills. Is that 6:44 before game time? No, 6:44 before 7. Okay. And it is the 109th meeting between the Jets and the Bills. The Bills, one game behind the Jets right here. And Rex Ryan would like nothing else but to come in here and win. And if he does win, he would tie with the record putter, Rex Ryan, one of the popular coaches in the NFL and in the football history. Won a Super Bowl as an assistant coach. Took the team to back-to-back one game away from the Super Bowl. But they didn't do it. Did you catch that biography on Jabbar yet?
No, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet, but I heard it was very good. I heard it was a good piece.
Yeah. A great piece.
Very good. I heard it was very good. I want to see it.
Yeah, you have to see it. 9 minutes. Kareem Manalia won. And
hey,
C-Wings.
Can I see Wings a question there?
Okay, well, Wings, who's the one? Hoopsta?
Yeah, I want to ask you a question. Tonight's game, what do you think is going to happen to tonight's game with this rivalry here? You got every Jet out there.
The key, when you look at both teams, they're pretty much even in the way that they, the defense, the blitzes, the blitz packages, both coaches are Super Bowl champions. They bring the blitz, the pressure onto the quarterback. I think the key here to win the game is to score in the red zone, in
right.
the end zone, keep the turnovers down. The Jets are coming in plus 7. Ryan Fitzpatrick, play smart, not turn over the ball, try to minimize the sacks. If he does take off, he must slide feet first, try to minimize injury or collisions to that arm. Buffalo, in order for them to win, pressure. Keep the pressure on. You see the wide receivers, they'll probably double up maybe on Brandon Marshall. Turnovers as well, pressure, play smart. You should see a pretty good matchup tonight. I mean, this is not the Jets of last year.
No, much Tom improved. Bowles, much improved.
Mike,
much improved Jets.
Mike and Todd, Mike McCagnan gave them the personnel, the money to spend. But it's probably one of the most talented teams in the AFC, in the NFL. They rank number one as far as giving up rushing yards. They stuff the run. I mean, that front four there, and you have Calvin Pace, David Harris.
But you got two guys out, right? You got Pryor and Cromartie out, so that's going to hurt you a little bit.
Pryor and Cromartie
are out. They're not playing tonight. No, they're not playing tonight.
They're not activated. But you still got some guys up there.
So they got to get rid of some help, some backup help back there. So.
Buster Screen.
And plus they
got to
watch Sammy Watkins and Taylor, and they got to watch Shady McCoy, too. Those are three dangerous guys.
He's coming in probable for tonight.
He's going to play.
I mean, it's just not to give the big play. As you see that how Revis plays, Cromartie, they play off the ball. They've been picking on Cromartie over the last couple of weeks. But Revis, is how much are they going to challenge him tonight? I mean, he's been challenged some over the last couple of weeks, but they haven't challenged him like they've challenged Cromartie. I mean, leading with the interceptions and takeaways like that. I think that if the teams play smart, if the Jets play smart tonight, minimize the turnovers, make good decisions. Ryan Fitzpatrick also, I was just telling Doc and I tell our listeners out there, he's two pass touchdowns away from breaking Sid Luckman's 137 touchdowns by a Ivy League quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick is two away from breaking that obscure record, which stood for the last 65 years. 65 years. That would be something for Fitzpatrick, not only to get the win, but
get that
record. You earn,
for Ivy,
yeah,
only
you
Ivy
that
quarterback. That's a hell of a record.
I mean, you know, 14.
You don't hear
that many
Ivy guys having records. It's only.
There haven't been that many Ivy League quarterbacks, neither.
That was the thing I think Wings and Hoopsa was the big thing that got him that big contract was that he was an Ivy League guy. And that's seen as a guy that's cerebral. What you want your quarterback to be? You want your quarterback to be cerebral. That's what leader qualities. And that was one of the big factors. In fact, I remember in the locker room after a Bill Jett game, and that was one of the things that they were interviewing him and highlighting the fact that he was an Ivy League quarterback in the NFL. So he is two TDs away from breaking the record by an Ivy League quarterback. Who holds the record there, Wings?
Sid Luckman, Hall of Famer, 1965.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
my
It's been 65
goodness.
Years.
65 years.
That he held that record. 65
wow.
years. He went into the Hall of Fame in 65, so, I mean, it's common denominator here.
I know
mean, that would be
you know what? It's
we weren't born yet.
Because not only is he breaking an Ivy League record, but he's breaking a record of a Hall of Fame and one of the immortal quarterbacks in the game of football. Wow. Tremendous. And one of the things that he's done this year that's been good, too, is his ability to not make the big turnover and give us just a second, Jim. It's time for a small station break. Hoopster, wingman, don't say another word, or as Sid Gatley would say, don't move another feather.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And with that, we're jumping right back in here.
Hey, I'm Doc. Can I ask you a question? Is this a Jet night with all these old Jets? Is this a special tribute tonight for some of the Jets? Because I see Tony Richardson there.
Well, yeah. What happened with us? We did the pregame, so we were going to kick at 6:30. Started to do it at 6. And
We just decided to go back
when Marty Lyons was here, then Earl Christie popped up. Wings right away went to the Super Bowl champion, so that took us back. We're looking to get Bob Azusa and any other players on the free game show. So
yeah, because I just see Tony Robinson. You heard of him say Wings. I know you know what that is, right?
Tony Robinson. You're going to have to enlighten me on that one.
Hey, running back. He's playing for the Jets. He's there. I see they're showing a few old Jets there at the pregame warm-up.
Oh, no wonder. That was there. Okay, Lisa McCoy, Chris Ivey, the big keys. They pick or pass on what's going to happen tonight. Ivey, quarterback. And Mr.
Supposed
Luck.
To have Lavernius Coles here tonight as well, one of the
Yeah.
And your good friend, C. Wings. Number two, who's the original 21? Davian Tollison, he's there too.
Hey, Wings.
You know, he's
there. I would think it's talking Hooster, he's more of a Jet man than a Steeler man. What he talking tonight?
Hey, this is Jet night, so I got to give Wings respect, man. This is the Jet night.
Yeah,
we don't want to talk no Steelers on this night, man, okay, Doc? We don't do that.
But
this is Jet night.
Okay, Jet night. Hey, well, listen, you saying that, but Coach Rex Ryan had to make it a Buffalo Bill night, so we'll see some important things. A lot of injuries here, too, Wings. Cologne's not here tonight. We don't know how well
Monty
is.
He got a knee injury.
I've got 100%. Our starting quarterback's not 100%. This may be a night that Geno Smith comes in and picks up the slack and maybe beats his old coach, too, because we don't know how far Fritz can go. I think there's some talk about he's going to have a operation after the week. There's Larry Hardesty. Legendary Larry Hardesty is here. He wasn't at the last game, so we're glad to see Larry walking around. We'll try to get Larry, but I don't think we can due to situations. But let's go see. Let Larry Hardy see it here. Sports in there, Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard with Network. Hold on. We've got us another call coming in. So let's get it on here. Okay, who's joining us now? Oh, that's, okay, I got you back. Okay, I had lost you there. When
we got knocked off. We'll probably be winding down shortly for this pregame show. Buffalo Bills, New York Jets, and a big anticipated rivalry. Rex Ryan's return to MetLife Arena. A couple of Twitter responses from Calvin Pryor about Rex Ryan making IKM Kampali the defensive man who ultimately broke Geno Smith's jaw in training camp. And there's a big controversy around that. Who owed who money? Who was at fault? He was ultimately cut by the team and picked up by the Buffalo Bills. Tonight he's named a game captain. Ruffled kind of some feathers, at least it was being reported.
Especially Calvin Pryor. He really ruffled Calvin feathers. Oh, boy.
It wouldn't be Rex if Rex didn't make any headlines. It wouldn't be the Rex Ryan that we know.
His attention, you know what. So that's how he is.
Well, that's his bravado.
That's his forte. So, hey.
Yeah, that's his bravado. Good defensive coach. He went 46-50 overall with the Jets in the six seasons that he was the coach.
Who was his playoff record? How about his playoff record?
4-2. He was the first, I think, a coach to go back-to-back.
That's right. Yes, he has.
Go on the road, win postseason games. There was some talk that the Indianapolis Colts kind of gave the Jets a way in back in 2009 when they sat their starters. They didn't want to go for the perfect season. The Jets squeezed in there. They went to the AFC Championship game. They were defeated by the Indianapolis Colts. The next year, 2010 season, playoff season, they ultimately defeated Peyton Manning in
Indianapolis
and Lucas Oil Stadium. And, race
that was, that made your day. I know that made your day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know
Matt
it did.
Stanley,
you were there, too. You were there broadcasting that game, too.
Yeah, and that's when you said that.
You was hanging out with you hang out with Rex.
We're going to welcome Thomas from
George.
Bleacher Report. SB Nation, I'm sorry, I'm getting old here.
More importantly, he was just on it, went into his Alumni Hall of Fame, and he was the first ever African American writer. Yeah, we mentioned that at the last show. That's when we copied that. It's just always, you know, to others I am somebody. And there are people who are role models, people who, you know, that classic line, and it's you, TG. That classic, I remember the movie The Tall Man. And the movie ends, Clark Gable comes in and Rex Ryan, and when he leaves, Rex Ryan says, you know, he's everything every little boy wants to grow up to be, everything every old man says he was. And that's you, baby. And often imitate, never duplicate. First of all, congratulations. Let's talk about the ceremony and your induction, please.
Western Kentucky is a great university. Many people who might be familiar with it know that. And to be honest, as part of their Hall of Distinguished Alumni, the school's been around since 1908. There are only 98 people in that hall. Myself and Nancy Corsolino, a golfing LPGA pioneer, as well as Naomi McPhee, who was a global pioneer in the field of engineering with NASA and the FBI and the military at Westinghouse, all those things. We all were inducted last weekend, and it was a great ceremony and a great homecoming ceremony there at Western.
Yeah, and on our photo collage, we have that photo of the induction ceremony and him being other alumni. You broke some rules. You were the first ever African-American journalist there at that paper over there.
I think what you're talking about was that the Denver Post, which had been around for more than 100 years,
while
I went
history.
To Denver, they had never had an African-American sports columnist there. I was the first one there, yes, humbly.
Wow.
Jackie Robinson, the Frank Robinson. Your dossier, your resume is one that's quite impressive. And you've built relationships with the athletes because of, I think, a combination of their respect for you and their confidence in you. And that's a lot of people are liked and not respected. Or respect and not like. You have the unique combination of being both. You can throw the ball with either hand. That says a lot about you as a person. But at the forefront of what you're about is, first and foremost, the good Lord upstairs.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think each one of us has a purpose and a destiny and a plan and an ambassadorship and a fulfillment to do in our lives. I don't think we're here just by accident or happenstance. So I think if we divinely look for our role and we continue on that path and on that lane, I've always believed you take one step, the Lord will take two. You take three, he'll take eight.
You know, I want to thank you, and we've given some pretty. You know, TG was on the line to eat. I waved at me and said, hey, you know, I'll be there in a minute. And I said, well, we're going to close in a few minutes. He said, well, I have no option. You remind me so much of and you are a role model and idol, and three of my idols. First of all, Muhammad Ali. Service to others is meant to put you room here on earth. Dr. King, life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Dr. King. And you fall through the mold of Roberto Clemente and Nelson Mandela. I am my brother's keeper, and my brothers come in all colors.
Wow, that's high praise, man. I mean, you know, I can't even begin to think in any way that I measure up to that, but I do know that each person that you mention is someone who I've certainly studied and in some ways tried to emulate, adopt some of the great traits that they had, which I think are universal. It's interesting that you mentioned Dr. King, because in my acceptance speech at Western, I talked about the fact of how Western's campus is located on a hill. And so thus the hill toppers. And so the hill is very high and it slopes down. And part of the message in my speech was, and being inducted, is as a student, you learn very early on that most of the classes are at the top of the hill. So it's no problem coming down the hill. You gain momentum as you go. But when you're going up that hill every day going to class, you could get quite weary. But if you just persevere and continue to climb up the hill, there is a spectacular view on the other side. And that was the message of my speech, and it truly is, and that kind of resonates, I think, with Dr. King, being at the mountaintop and having seen the other side.
Yeah, I know you're going to eat well, you too, but I'm going to say this about you, too, because, you know, your humbleness, man, is, you know, it is a perfect example of the way you dress, the way you act, the whole thing, man. And I remember you said something about Tony Romo. You said something about Warren Moon. You said something about Joe Montana, which fits you, too. They're leaders, baby. That's what you are, baby. And we thank you. It's an honor to have you on the show. Love you deeply. John, I want
to
get a little something
for
you.
It's an honor for me to be here.
Hey, man, it's what you bring to this show. You're one of the somebody, and you're one of the somebody that make me somebody. Love you, baby. Congratulations once again.
All right. Thank
congratulations,
you. Appreciate it.
Well, we're going to close. Can't close any better than that, baby. You know what I mean? There's Michael Jordan against with that jump shot against the Jazz, Willie Mays, and so we're getting everything. So with that, we're going to close out. We had the pregame show, Thomas George, Marty Lyons, Earl Christie. Hey. No more say, baby. And we have also in the collage a photo of him winning. And, you know, the last show we had that dossier where we talked about him, first ever African-American at the Georgia Chronicle and some of his other credentials. So now what we'll do, we're going to have him in again. And, you know, that's what life is all about. You know, this is a guy who has brought so much to any organization he's worked with. And we always thank you all for being here with us. It's the Jets against the Bills. We'll have that final score for you at the end of the show. And Wings will be here and I will be here. And we will close the show with Marvin Gaye. Always closing us with a classic show, line, Save the Children, and Larry Hardesty will take us away. Sports and Depth, Block Talk Radio, and the Trust in God Radio Network, and the Hoopsa. Who's a real quick thing? Kevin Durant got hurt again, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yep, hamstring.
You know,
Wings,
I think he's done. Wings. You know, I think him and Rose, two talented guys, but I think the injuries are just going to be. You know, and it just shows how blessed you are to have help. No, but this is something that's redundant, and I think you hate to see that, but it's going to hinder them. You know, COVID didn't start getting hurt until the end of his career.
Well, Grant Hill was always hurt. That's why he lasted so long.
Oscar, Grant was the big thing that Hoopsa talked about right here. Hoopsa said the thing with Grant was he's wearing the wrong shoes. And
don't
realize.
Don't realize.
Yeah. He's trying to play. And I was thinking about somebody that if I got a chance to tell him, hey, man, you know, you don't play. I remember Oscar Robertson against the Bucks. With the Bucks, and he left the game early against the Houston. I said, I'm not coming back till I'm healthy. Remember Nate Archibald? I went to the locker room to go talk to him there, the former of Boston, and I was walking in, he was telling the guy, I'm not taking you all those things, you know. And, you got to do what you got to do for your body. And, wow. Okay, Marvin Gaye. We'll take us away. Sparking that box. I'll tell you more questions over there. Who's your pick for the game today?
The Jets. Gotta beat them. Jets will win. They're going to spoil Rollins' home return. They're going to spoil it.
Wings, please.
Gotta beat
the Jets.
The Jets play smart, not turn the ball over, score the touchdowns, make smart plays. I give the Jets 23-21. This is going to be a defensive game, smart offensive choice type game. So I see the Jets winning 23-21. Doc, before we sign off,
sure.
Just want to let our listeners know that we are pulling for Lady A, our Lady A, who lost a family member, her uncle. We wish her and the family all the best and our deepest condolences. And also, the family of former New York pick, Knicks draft pick, Mike Wright, who was drafted in 2001 out of University of Arizona. But never played for the team. He went overseas. He unfortunately passed away yesterday.
He
was discovered deceased in his car. So there's a deep investigation going on, a homicide investigation. We offer his family, and we give them our deepest condolences and prayers as well. And also, happy birthday to the former Jet quarterback, first round pick, fifth overall out of USC, Mark Sanchez. Happy 29th birthday.
I remember when he was
from
here.
November 11th.
I remember he was here. They played a game. It was on a Sunday, and you said happy birthday to him. 72 to the Miss Lina, one of the 87 years old, the Locke family. She passed away a couple of days ago, 87 years old. So we want to send some out to her. And listen up, you know, we're in our prayers and thoughts, and we always want to say hello to our number one listener, Rosie and Walter Adonia. She's our number one listener in Brazil, Pia Dodo. And with that, Marvin Gaye has this to say. And if Marvin Gaye says that, we'll say it. Marvin, please take us away. Mr. Gaye.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
Save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
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 Live for life.
Life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children.
Let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, you got to save the babies. Oh, the little fear, you got to feel it. You will. But who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, to save our sweet world. Save a world that is destined to die.
Buzz gets older. Hey, yeah, he got away. That's one. Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust and Guardian Network. We'll take a look at guests tonight. Marty Lyons, Earl Christie, Thomas George. Of course, my hopes are drawn near. Big Daddy Sea Wings, Cedric Raymond, and the Hoopster, Lewis Hart. With that, Larry Hart takes us away. Again, the Hart family.
All over town, just to see what I could find. Every now and then I find some company, but every kiss temporary. I try to tell myself that it was just a game. I run again to try and ease that lonely pain. No matter where I traveled, there I'd be. In those walls of skin called me, and I was just a running.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to run off here. Hope you enjoyed the show.
And I just be running.
And
I kept on running and had nothing to show.
Take it away.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.